You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Yeah, baby, we're starting the podcast right now. We're back, You Know What, Dude, live. Welcome, everybody, to the show.
YKWD.
I started a social media podcast. The fact, the YKWD podcast.
YKWD's back again.
Old school, back in the day, where it all started, before them all.
YKWD's
podcast is so fun and crazy.
It has no rules.
Shut up, you're ruining this.
Where's the bandana, man?
Sorry, it's a comedy podcast. This isn't NPR.
That's what this podcast does.
Is there any better show? This is the original.
What just happened?
I take over.
Drama, sing it, Calta. Drama.
Right. I guess it's just you and I now.
Calta and Gabby Show. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Calta and Gabby Show. Where anything can happen. We talk about so much. Being in Florida, being in Brooklyn, being two different people, having kids, not
I
having kids.
This is the show I always wanted to do anyway.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you? Anybody sick that you know?
I got, no, but I got tested for corona yesterday.
You did? They go up your nose?
They go so far up the nose, they stab you in the fucking brain.
Eesh.
You cry so much.
And were you, do they have results yet?
No, I find out in a couple of days.
So I had the flu one time, like a regular flu. And I went into the doctor's office and the nurse came in and she shoved that thing. She shoved what felt like a toilet brush up my nose. And she rooted around my nose and tears are coming out. My leg was shaking like a dog when you rub its belly. Then she pulled it out and I was like, Jesus Christ. I go, I would rather take a needle in the eye. And she goes, I got to do the other one too. I go, all right, do what you got to do. So I did that one. Same thing, Roto-Rooter up there. I was like, holy fuck. I'm like, this is the worst torture ever. I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Yeah.
She puts them down on the counter and she went to grab them and she knocked them off the counter onto the floor. And she goes, I have to do it again. I was like, you motherfuckers. I know she did it on purpose.
She truly was torturing you.
Yeah, she liked it.
So I don't understand why, when they shove it so fucking far into your skull, why it burns.
Because, I mean, it's so far up in your membranes, in your nerves, all the nerves that are up there.
Horrific. It was horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be tested. Thank God I have no symptoms at all. So your dad had it. Your dad's all good now? I saw him on the video I made yesterday.
All good now.
Good.
They both got tested negative. They're not sick anymore. They drank tequila till 3 a.m. the other night. I was
now,
like,
who you say they? Who you mean they?
Well, the fun thing about them is that they gave Corona. My dad gave Corona to all of their friends and their hairdressers.
So they all hang out.
So now they're all negative and they're like, I guess we could drink in the basement.
Do we know if you can not get it again once you had it?
We don't know for sure, but our doctor says that it's very unlikely.
Okay, now, your dad, I remember one time your dad was down here in Tampa, and I hung out with him and his neighbors, and they were a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Do you remember what they looked like?
They were white. I can't remember. I could be wrong because I know, I think you said that he told me that his neighbor was a doctor, but I think the guy was a doctor.
Was he really short?
No, I don't fucking remember. There was a couple of them. There was a couple of big guys with good looking wives, but they were all older.
Sure.
And they were all rich.
We have this pack of New Jersey people that scale all the way from, like, you know, broke musicians who have been in the scene forever, and then big fucking Guidos with blonde wives with long nails.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't kind Guidos. They're more like down the shore type people.
Right, right.
Yeah. They were like Jimmy Buffett loving people.
Sure.
And so, but they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's the Wasps too.
Yeah, they were good. And then, and you must have been a little baby at the time.
Just a little sparkling.
Yeah,
baby.
Which makes me feel incredibly old. But that's all right.
Let me get him in here because he's ready. Bobby.
Yep.
My dad's ready. Should I add him?
Yeah, let him in.
Okay, hold on.
I could have done the whole interview.
I'm done with Mike.
Me too. Fuck him.
We're not friends anymore.
Oh.
Let's do the show and then. Okay, it's sent.
What?
So, yeah, I'm dying to know what just went down.
Well, he's fucking... I don't know.
He is a little mushy.
No, he tries to get mad at you for before you get mad at him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He tries to, and it's like, just to use your words. Just what's going on? What are you doing? That's all. What the fuck's going on? And then he starts getting mad. Just start the show. Who cares?
So is he off? Can we talk shit about him?
No, he can't be off because he started the fucking thing.
I'm kidding. This will all work out.
Oh, it always does. It will
work out. I have to re-change my name.
To what?
I changed it to I Hate with an arrow to my left, but now it's Facing Gabby. It was for Mushy.
Change it. Okay, he's coming in.
He's coming in.
Well, are you nervous?
Am I nervous?
I got drunk on red wine with him last night.
Was he drunk? Oh, yeah. You.
Whoa! Show video.
That's so funny. You have to tell him how to push the...
Go to the bottom left and click show video.
Yeah, sorry.
Guys, it could have been a doctor, genius, musician.
Look at this guy.
No, I've been doing it on my iPad. Now I did it on the computer because it's better lighting for you.
Look at that lighting in the back. Look, that's so rock and roll.
You're glowing.
My studio.
Oh, look at that shit.
All right, now I want to know what hits were made in those studios. Come on.
A lot of weed hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for David Bryan, Gabby's dad, more importantly, but more importantly to most of us. I mean, in Bon Jovi, one of the original members. And recently, he's been a Broadway producer for a long time, and his play was just about to open, did all the press, did everything for
Broadway
your
composer.
A composer, everything for Diana, right?
Yeah, we had 9 previews. We were in front of the audience for 9 days until they shut us down.
That's crazy.
I was going to go. And then she told me, don't go. Wait till it opens to go. And I wanted to go. I would have saw it in preview.
That wouldn't help. You will see it again, my friend. You will see it again.
It wouldn't have helped anybody. Nobody is listening to you for Broadway advice.
You're out of your mind. Michael, I have a lot of gay friends that actually come to me.
Name three.
Michael, Jared, and Jim.
Okay, Jim doesn't count. Name another.
Rich Voss.
Yeah.
That counts.
Rich was supposed to be here. He's not here.
But you can also add, I'm also a COVID-19 survivor.
Yes. Oh, my God. How scary is that?
I got to tell you, it was last. So I did a good thing. I'm a giver, not a taker. So I gave my wife and 5 other friends COVID-19.
I thought you were going to say you just gave money to like a hospital or something.
No, I gave him COVID.
You almost killed people. You murdered people. Okay.
Well, so out of the 7 people, right? No. Just me and my buddy Manzo got it. We got sick. Everybody else got COVID. So I said, we all got tested. Nobody had symptoms except for me and my buddy Manzo.
Right.
So then we just tested both of us negative on Sunday.
Right.
So I said, let's have a COVID party because we can't give it to each other. So he came to my house.
Right.
I hadn't been drunk or had a drink in 5 weeks, which the last time I was 15, I think, when that event occurred. And we drank till like 3 a.m. and we're like sitting there going, you realize now there's 7 billion humans on the planet. Everybody's afraid of getting this thing. And like us three, we survived this. It's crazy.
You know what's scary, though, is that I would read I'm in Tampa, and I would read the Daily News online every day, and front page would show at least like 3 to 5 famous or rich people that died. That never happens. It's always just regular people. But I mean, at the same time, there'd be a musician, somebody this, a doctor, all dying.
We all freaked out when Tom Hanks got it. That's when it became real for fucking everybody. Tom Hanks, his wife got it. We were like, oh, this is fucked. You know what I mean? And then when you got it, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Now it's getting fucking heavy.
I know. And, you know, it shows, like, I mean, look at the range. Like, some people, like, my wife had it with no symptoms. I had it, I'm sick. But I mean, I was sick for 5 weeks. And, I mean, it wasn't enjoyable. And, but then some people are in the hospital fighting for their lives. And people died. It's crazy.
Did you wake up during, when you were your sickest, did you wake up during the middle of it and Gabby was trying to get you to sign a piece of paper?
I was like, sign everything over to me. Sign everything. Well, really quick. Don't think about it. Oh, you look so bad. Just sign this really quick. It's the deed for your whole life to me.
I said, my eyes were blurry, but I saw POA, power of attorney.
Dude, so are you at your age and as much as you've been around the world, are you relieved that you're not touring right now?
You know what? I mean, well, if it wasn't a pandemic, Broadway would be, my show would have opened up. We would be in rehearsals. We'd be touring arenas. So, you know, I didn't see a pandemic coming.
No, so. You're not sick of touring.
No, I love to play. I mean, I love to perform. It's fun.
Sick of touring. How would you be? You're asking, are you sick of being on stage with a bunch of women throwing their bras and fucking making millions of dollars?
Having does that people even happen anymore?
Beck and call all fucking day and just, you know, jamming on a, what are you, fucking nuts? It's not like he's doing roofing.
Oh, it's terrible. Private planes and, you know, staying in the best hotels. And yes, they do throw, now the ones we have in the front row are, their bras are more brought to you by science. You know, it's more about their
back braces.
They're plastic surgeons. So you can make a sling.
You can make a raft out of them by strapping logs together. If you're
that's where the COVID mask is.
Listen, you don't understand the trickle down effect that you guys have had for radio guys. There are things that, Gabby, close your ears. There's things that benefited us by giving away tickets to see you. So thank you for that.
Yes. What, pussy?
What? How do you know that word?
I think the best ever was, you know, talking about trickle down theory. I was once doing a interview, like we were in a studio and people were there and we played like a couple songs for radio station. Yeah. I don't remember, somewhere in the United States somewhere. And some fan goes, hey, listen, he goes, he goes, it's not really a question. I just want to say thank you. He goes, I got laid so many times because I told him I was your cousin. And I was like, dude, you owe me $100 right now. Give me $100.
$100?
That's cheap. You got off easy.
Yeah, it's real cheap. Go ahead, Mike. Go, you got it. Me and Mike are all whipped up to talk to you.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and I grew up in Staten Island. I'm a huge fan. I'm probably one of the rare guys that you see, especially now I'm 48 years old, that's such a huge fan. I was at the first Giant Stadium show. I was at subsequent Giant Stadium shows. It was so weird. I saw you in June of 89 at Giant Stadium, first time you guys played there.
Yeah.
I was here and you were here, these tiny little guys. That's how shitty my seats were. And then I moved to Florida. And then in September of 89, just a few months later, I saw you at a place called the Lakeland Civic Center that held 8,000 people. And I was like, how the fuck is this even possible? I was two people away. I was like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. I was like, that was 89. It was the year I graduated high school. It was like the best.
Do you remember 89?
Me? I'm kind of hazy from like 83 to 90. It's kind of hazy.
But that first Giant Stadium show has got to be a big deal for you.
Oh, that was unbelievable. And we had the big catwalk that walked all the way around. You know, John did. I just pay for that shit. I don't get to use it because I have to be at my keyboards, you know.
It was you guys, Billy Squire.
Yep.
The two guys from Def Leppard showed up and jammed with you guys at the end. It was when the big fight happened with Sam Kinison and Howard Stern. I mean, it was a big fucking deal. That show was great, man.
It was great. He introduced us.
Yeah.
And he was a good friend of mine. That's the reason. He was a good friend of mine.
And now, can I ask you this, Theory? I've had Skid Row. I've done gigs with Skid Row and with Sebastian Bach. And I am positive that Sebastian Bach must be the worst human being in the world, because Skid Row would rather be fucking poor than reunite and go out on tour with him. Every other band was like, well, fuck it. We need the money. Let's go. Let's reunite with that asshole and go on tour. Except Skid Row. They're like, fuck it. We'd rather be poor.
You know, bands are, every band is a unique situation, I would like to say, you know? So it's, you know, it's usually things like that is all about the money.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you look at the Eagles, and but even the Eagles, like they said, I mean, the when Hell Freezes Over tour, they were like, I hate you so much. Fuck the money. I just hate you, and I'm not going to play till Hell Freezes Over. And then they all look and go, how much money we're going to make? Okay, great.
Well, I would actually do, I'd do Torgasm 2 if the money was right now.
I always maintain, and I don't expect you to say anything, but that the whole situation with Richie was in fact over money. That was the big rumor, that there were, everybody had good relationships, but at the end of the day, it became about money.
No, not at all. I mean, really? It's a shame. He's my brother. It's just addiction sucks, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
Speaking of addiction, you're one of those guys. Now, I'm a recovering alcoholic addict for 35 years, right?
Right.
And I've hung out with you a few times. And I've never met somebody who can put down booze and have it not affect them one bit. Like, you're the same guy at 7 as you are as 2. Either you're coming in fucked up or I've never met anybody like you. Like, you don't change at all. No, I mean, you maybe get a little more giddy or whatever, but you're not. You can drink too, man. You can fucking drink like an iron worker.
Hey, you know, it's I'm lucky in the fact, I mean, like so many people didn't make it. Some people, you know, so many people just died from drugs and alcohol, and I thrived. I think it's the big thing, you know, and I didn't do enough to kill myself. I always had fun. I didn't do it to bury emotions or, you know, nobody raped me when I was a kid or any kind of weird shit. And I just like, I just kind of just have fun.
Yeah.
I told Gabby, I smoked pot with you in Tampa, and I don't smoke pot, but we went up to your room after a show in Tampa, and you were like, come on, let's go smoke pot. And I was like, well, I'm not going to smoke pot with fucking David Bryan. I was like, I got to do it. Still, it goes down as one of the best memorable experiences.
I think 9 of his friends have Corona.
I know there's more to that story, by the way, too. But anyways, there's no way you went up to his room after a concert, smoke pot. What'd you do? Talk about fucking politics?
No, I was telling Gabby when you were fighting with Mike before, you were in Tampa with a bunch of your neighbors from Jersey.
Yeah.
And they were all hanging out down here. And we went up to the room, smoked pot. It was me, you, David Wells, and some other guy. And then we went back down and hung out back out in the lobby. It was great. I couldn't believe, after being such a hardcore queer fan for so long, how fucking cool everybody was. Not John, but the rest of you guys were all so super cool. And I hung out and sat with Tico and with you all night. And I got to know your neighbors. I was like, this is fucking great.
You can't say queer in front of Gabby. Gabby's woke.
What'd you say?
Oh, I didn't mean homosexual. I just meant weird, queer.
Now, let me ask you something, Dave. Does it bother you that you have such a woke daughter?
Be careful what you say.
That's woke to even say that.
Nice.
No, I steer her away from the wokeness. It's good.
Let me help you, okay?
You'll grow out of it.
The reason I'm here is to be like, don't say that.
I learned words like lit. I thought, you know, it was a whole different thing. I'm learning like new kind of words. I can't say retard anymore.
Nope.
Can't say that one.
Yeah.
Nope.
The one you'll always be able to say is midget.
You can't say midget.
Yeah, you can say it, because what are they going to do? There's nothing they can do to stop you.
Did you ever see when they attacked the guy and tied his hair to the ground? No. They can do a lot.
That hair is part of the career. No hair touching. Don't say midget.
I know.
No, I'm not even going to say it.
All right. So let me ask you about that. Can we talk about the hair? You were, I've heard you comment on it before. You were like, I got Jew Jersey hair, and you know, it's hard to be in a fucking hair band when you didn't have the right hair, but eventually you got it to where it needed to be.
Yeah. You know, I'm a Jew. So it's a Jew fro that started up here in like 84, and I just haven't cut it since. So this is it. You know what I mean? This is 58 years of growing it.
Hilarious.
Bobby, yeah, does that make you emotional?
His hair is, let me tell you something about his hair. It's just magical. It's just magical. His hair, if I can find a, here it is right here.
Yeah. There were years when you were in Thundercats that it was
Thundercat is my favorite. This is my favorite, right?
Yeah.
Thundercats!
So many different things are happening.
Oh, there's a lot. Look at that one right there. Look at it. You got to
tell the story of when you got extensions.
Well, no, that's when I had the hair in the Slippery and Wet, that gigantic one. We were in Vancouver, and I saw this chick walking down the block. She was on the other side of the street, and I'm like, and she looked like an alien Martian, and I was like, I need to do that. And I got it. I got all these extensions, but like, you know, that was a Slippery and Wet tour, so I had all these extensions, and I went in there, and I sort of had, you know, like shorter hair. I came out of there, and it was like down to my ankles. I looked like Cro-Magnon Man. I was like, I go, don't cut it yet. Let me just scare the crap out of my band. And I walked into rehearsal. They looked at me like I was like, you know, Planet of the Apes or something. They didn't know what to do.
Now, John's hair and Slippery When Wet, I mean, it's fucking gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous.
That's why my hair wasn't like that. So I had to get the shit to put it in there just so I can get that.
I've always felt that way too. When I was younger, punk rock. Remember the straight in the back and spiked hair was in, and you popped the collar, the eyes on, and you ironed it up, and you pinned the legs on your jeans so you made them. And I tried to do the hair, but I had cowlicks, so it would always, like, my bangs were always crooked, and I could never get the spike right. And I used to go out at night. It'd be for like a half hour. It'd be good. And then all of a sudden, like half the spikes would come down. The cowlick would kick in. I'd just look like an asshole.
See, that's where you needed what we had. The secret of that was Aquanet. You spray that shit. We were probably the 80s responsible for the hole in the ozone. You could spray posters to the wall with that shit. It was like you spray that on. It's not a hair. It becomes a helmet.
It was an 8-pound purple can of hairspray. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Say it again. What's the name of that?
Aquanet.
The first time you said it, you sounded like an old Jewish woman. You said Aquanet.
That's what happens to old rock stars when they get older. Old Jewish women. What? My name's Bon Jovi.
How? No, I don't remember the 80s. Why would I remember that?
How old was Gabby when she realized that you were cool?
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen at 30.
My son is 13, and he doesn't quite, like, I think this year, now that we have buck season tickets and that kind of shit, he's like, all right, there's an aspect to him that's cool. But I mean, you guys are, I mean, you're on TV, you're around the world, the news, I mean, every magazine cover when you go in the store, that's gotta be amazing when you're a kid.
I'll tell you what, it was, I could say like about, Gabby's twin brother, Colton. So he was like, same thing, you know, when they're at a certain age, I mean, he was probably like, not even 13, like 12 maybe. And he's like, you guys, you're old, you're fat, you're bald, you're an old man band. I'm like, I'm not old, I'm not fat, and I'm not bald. I go, okay, come on. So we were playing Giant Stadium. I put his seat right behind mine. There's 70,000 people. Right. And he's sitting right behind me on stage looking at it. And I got the ear things in, so I can't really hear him. I turn around. I go, who's fucking cool now? And I turn around one more time. And he's like, not you.
Oh. Yeah, I'm so happy you brought that up, because I think that's a perfect reason to write him out of the will. Now, hear me out.
I did the same thing to my son at a Funny Bone. And it was half full. And he said the same thing. He's like, yeah, you're not cool. Yeah. I brought my kid out. Honest to God, though, I brought my kid out at Just for Laughs. Max came out. He was five or six, whatever. He just turned six. And he came out in front of 1,500 people and lost his mind. He literally jumped off the stage and walked through the crowd high-fiving like everybody. But like, did Gabby do any of that shit? Did she do any crazy shit, or would she steer away from the stage?
And we were always having like on the side of the stage.
You never brought him out though, right? Because that would fuck up the image.
We danced on the stage a couple times.
Oh yeah, like once or just something like that. Yeah. I didn't want anybody to like ransom him or do anything like that, because I didn't want to get money for that.
Yeah, you're right. There's a big difference between me and you. I forgot. I could literally show my son. I could. He could be on stage with me. Nobody's gonna. some chubby guy from Ohio. You want your son back? Yeah. Got a Red Robin with me right now.
Can I ask you some questions that are not appropriate to ask in front of your daughter?
Yes.
That's where you don't understand. We're way far gone from that.
I still have to ask. I still have to be polite.
Yeah, ask.
So I interviewed John one time, and John said, I said, I got to imagine that in all the countries you've been to and all the crazy shit, tell me there's got to be a mother-daughter team in there somewhere. And John had the best answer ever. He goes, once or twice. what country had the best Bon Jovi chick fans?
I think Planet Earth.
But like, what about like Japan? I know you guys loved Tokyo and that, you know, doing the album in Canada. I mean, what was the best? What was the best? Like, what place did you get excited about going to?
And in the 80s, everybody was tied for first place. You know what I mean? It was pretty damn good. From a kid from Edison, New Jersey, you know, in high school who couldn't even get laid. So I was like, it was gotta do it. So it's, it was a good time.
I always ask who your best friend is. Maybe it's this Manzo guy. I don't know. But how come nobody stopped you the first time you were wanting to get married and said, don't fucking do that. You're in Bon Jovi.
I waited till I was, 30. Then I had my kids when I was 32. I figured by then, you know, back then 32 was like 52. You know, now 32 is like 10.
Yeah, you had how many years of clanging and banging did you have?
What's clanging?
You know what clanging.
None of your business. Clanging and banging. You know what I mean?
I would say I reached the end of the internet, you know?
When did you start touring? When did you run away? You joined the band, right?
No, it started in, so John and I started when we were 17. I joined his cover band.
Yeah.
And then we got signed in 83 and then put the band together. So in 83, we recorded Runaway and then put it out in 84. So I was 21 when we recorded it and 22 when I left my house and I came back, that was 84. I came back 6 years later. I was like, it was really, really, it was a lot of fun. I came back, I weighed like a pound and I slept for 10 seconds.
You weighed a pound and the balls were empty for 8 months. Earmuffs, Gabby.
That must have been
so. Did they really, on Slippery and Wet, I always wonder because they do that, you know, they do all these, you know, interviews and they say that he grabbed a trash bag, sprayed it with water and wrote Slippery When Wet on it. And that was the cover. Is that a true story?
It actually is. You know why it's a true story is because there was another version, the Japanese version of a chick with big tits.
Right.
And it said Slippery When Wet. But then that was the Mad Mothers against mad people, drunk driving, everything, whatever that was, that Tipper Gore. And so the record company was like, we can't put that at, you know, Walmart or whatever was the thing then. And so in the 11th hour, John just, he did that, took a Glad bag, sprayed on. He wrote Slippery and Wet. Took a picture of it, and that was the album cover.
Which and then caused me to pay $69 to get the Japanese import to have the old cover. So, yeah.
You have?
I definitely paid for half that house.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Enjoy college.
She didn't go
I'm to out.
Was there ever a time where you thought, I'm done? I'm like when you started having success in Broadway, where you're like, I think this is it now?
You know, they're definitely two different worlds, you know, like in Broadway. I mean, in Bon Jovi, I get to play live. There's nothing like the excitement of going up there. And everybody's like, you know, good luck, but you don't need it. Like, no, listen, you always have the opportunity to suck. You just fucking work with your brain and you practice and you work hard. And then I love it's like a sporting event. Like you just play it's like the Super Bowl, but nobody hits you and you win every time. But but you know, you try and try your hardest, and I love that part about it. And then Broadway world, it's writing and then getting these actors who aren't used to rock, like get them to sing. I can sing. I sing from like, oh, that's how you sing. I go that way. I go, yes, that's how you sing this way. So I get to do that. So it's really exciting. But I would never give up playing. I stand up playing keyboards and eventually I'll just sit the fuck down, like, you know, when I'm old enough.
I love that you had a great relationship with your father and that they got to see you become so super successful.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, he always supported me. He was a trumpet player and a failed trumpet player, and he always supported me. And it was like such a wild thing to see, like that kid. But I was the kid at 7 years old when I auditioned for this classical piano player for lessons. And I was playing, I never played less than 3 hours a day when I was seven. And then I'm getting into Juilliard, I ramped it up to 8 to 14 hours. My parents were like, can you just stop? Like, we want to sleep. I'm like, no, I can't stop. I have to get into it. It doesn't happen by luck.
I want to say something, Dave, and don't take offense.
Me?
Yes. Your name's David. Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. You've pulled off a very hard thing to pull off, because the keyboard player, is never really cool. I mean, always gets the shit. And it's like, in the band, it's like, what are you, the keyboard player? You know, it's like, you know, you're the guitarist, you're the lead, you're the keyboard player. I'm not the fucking keyboard. But you, and I have to say this, have always pulled off cool keyboard player. Like, I've always thought you were like a main part of the band. And I always look for you in the videos, you know, and I'm always trying to see what the fuck you're doing. And when I saw you live, and I saw you three times, I thought you were fucking great. You weren't just, you know, you were rocking out, having a good time. You know what I mean? It's like the lead singer always takes that light when they walk. I saw Pearl Jam. I didn't know anybody else was in the fucking band when any vetter walks out and just looks up and even though, and then just looks at that side and does that shit. I just forgot. I just stared at him the whole show. But like when you see Crew, I saw them, I stare at fucking Tommy, just fucking wow, bow, bow, bow. You know, I just spilled coffee on everything. But you, like the whole band, I really enjoy, like everybody in it. And the keyboard player, that's a hard one to pull off, dude. I mean, you're fucking exciting to watch. Is that gay to say?
Thank you. No, listen, most keyboard players are weenies, you know, like yes. Just total weenies. And I was like, you know, there's like, you know, look at the guitar player, looks cool. That's why I didn't sit down. That's why I stand up and play with my hands apart, you know? And I'm like, you know, it's like anything to get chicks back then, you know? So you gotta look cool. You can't look like a weenie.
Yeah, like the key, like Sticks, ugh, you know, come on. Be-de-de-de, that guy, he was a fucking weenie. Eddie, I think Eddie pulled it off a little bit, but even when Tommy played the keyboard, I was like, sit down, play the drum, stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ellie, you know? And Aerosmith doesn't even let their keyboard player go on stage.
They have a keyboard player?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, exactly. They're like the keyboard players are like the Rodney Dangerfield of rock. You know, there's no respect. No.
Right. But you, because you did those 14 hours, 15 hours a day, that paid off because you're part of everything.
Yeah. And and that was our whole thing. You know, it's like we all came at you, you know, right at the beginning. Yeah. I mean, our first tour, I'll never forget it. We opened up for Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Right. So our first tour, we go up to open up for Judas Priest, and you know, they're like, kill your fucking mom, kill your fucking mom. And we're going, ooh, she's a little runaway, right? So, you know, all 16-year-old black t-shirt wearing,
yeah, but
hating. They fucking hated us, right?
Yeah, but you find out later when you listen to the songs, it's like, suck his fucking dick, suck his fucking dick.
Oh, yeah, then you're like, well, I knew backstage, you know, he's like, he would like, he was a nasty little bastard, and he would like have his like 16-year-old little blonde with him, boy, that they picked up, and he was like, you know, elbowing you out of the way. I'm like, oh, the fucking king of darkness over there. I don't know what kind of darkness it was.
The king of darkness. Did you ever get into a fight with bands? Have you ever fought like as a band against another band?
Motley Crue.
Yeah, well, we had the same manager. So we never, Doc McGee was our manager. And the only one time that they ever put us together, because he would always keep us apart, because that was a very smart thing to do. And it was in Germany. I'll never forget. And then it was like for the first time, okay, he's like, you guys are together now. You got to act, you know, you got to behave. We're like, absolutely. So we all went to the bar. We looked at each other. We got a shot, tequila. Everybody did it. And we threw it right at the back of the fucking bar. Broke the whole fucking everything. Our road manager's like, no, calm down. Here's 10 grand. You know, I'm sorry. Like, we won't do it again. bang, did it again, threw it again. And then the greatest thing, because Tico at the time was, now Tico's been sober forever, but a raging alcoholic. He was wonderful. Yeah. And he's drinking, there's like six beers like that he had, and that was just to start off before he had the 27 bottles of Jack. And so he's got six empty beers, and he goes right over to Tommy Lee, and he goes, bang, hits him right over the fucking head. Oh. And Tommy's like, dude, and he's bleeding, you know? And then Tico looks at him and goes, fuck you, you fucking pussy. And he has another body, goes bang, and breaks it over his own head. Bang, breaks another one over his head. Bang, breaks another one over his head. Bang, breaks another one over his head. And Tommy looks at him and goes, I'm not fucking with you. This guy's fucking nuts. And Tico says to me afterwards, I go, how the fuck do you do it? He goes, it's a trick. I go, yeah, the trick is to fucking drink a bottle of fucking Jack for 30 years a second. I go, what? You're out of your mind.
Talk about all the pranking that you and Tico do to each other.
Tico is he's the worst. Well, the worst thing was that so at the beginning we didn't have any, you know, we always doubled up. So everybody got, I slept with Tico. I didn't sleep with Tico. Tico and I had rooms together.
I would have slept with John if I had a choice.
No, he had his own. He's the lead singer. So, you know, LSD. So he has his own room.
Right.
And then Richie and Alec slept together in their room. So, and then Tico was a raging alcoholic and Alec was a speed freak. So Alec would never sleep. So the first night, I'll never forget this. First night, staying at the AAA motel in Poughkeepsie, you know, like where it all goes down. And I'm like, okay, you know, we played this club. There's no chicks. Didn't, you know, I usually like chicks with teeth. So I was like, I'm going to just go back to my room, sleep naked. I always do. Go under the covers at about like 4 in the morning. All of a sudden, bang, the radio comes on. There's 700 people in our room, right? 700 people, right? They're sitting on a bed, fucking smoking. Ashes are going in my suitcase, right? I'm like, T, I go, I wasn't sleeping or anything. I don't want to bother you, right? And then he did that for 3 years every day. And at one point I go, don't you take time off? He goes, no. And then I said, well, if you can't beat him, join him. And I went, I'm going to die. I fucking actually die. So I was like, so I would drag my mattress across the fucking hall to Richie's room because Alec was, he was out because he'd be up, you know, he slept one day out of a week. So I would just go to his room. We would just get fucked up and go to sleep.
That's so weird.
That sounds like a fucking blast, dude. I remember, I mean, comedy is kind of parallel to that shit on such a smaller scale. But I remember doing some fucking crazy, fucked up shit. I remember just looking at, like, being with comic friends, being like, dude, what the fuck? Did you ever get that way where you're like, dude, what the fuck are we doing right now?
I think the best one. I'm a little hazy, so things come out of here. I remember at one point I said to John, I go, don't even pay me. Just give me a room. Don't pay me. I go, you all run to your rooms. I run to my room, and then he comes to my room. So one time I remember the bus was parked out in the parking lot of the hotel. You know, we were Motel 6. You know, we were shitty places. And then so the deal was you got to get the bus. Whoever got to the bus first with a chick, you know, you ran the generator. So when you heard the generator going, somebody had the bus.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, first come, first serve thing. And I remember looking out there and there was a wheelchair in front of the door. and Alec, our bass player, was in there. I'm like, he's going to heaven. I'm like, straight to heaven.
Yeah, what was that like?
Like, she was like on the bunk. She was grabbing on the bunk, you know, and you're...
That'd be funny if he healed her.
She comes out skipping.
Yeah, she comes out walking.
was that weird or cool to play with him at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It was great to play with him.
Yeah.
I missed him. We had a lot of fun with him. He just did too much speed at the time, but he's and booze, and he went to rehab twice and didn't work out. But he like got himself sober and he was great.
Can I tell you a weird thing that I heard about him, and you could confirm or deny or whatever. Did his end in the band have something to do with him secretly taping conversations?
He got very strange during the end. Yes, he fell in love with electronics. So he would bug everybody. He would bug the fucking maids when they came in. Then he got a thing where you could shock the door handle. So when the maids would come in, they would fucking pass out and he would film them. He was
TikTok before it was cool.
It's past 7 years of limitations, so they can't sue him anymore.
Somebody told me that, and I was like, I heard it wasn't, you know, that good of a player anymore, whatever the deal was. And then years later, another musician was like, hey, you know, I had a meeting with last week, the dude from Bon Jovi, Alec John Such. And I was like, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, what a weird fucking dude. He had this thing. And he goes, it was a spy camera. And I was like, holy shit, I had heard that about him. So I never knew if that was true or not.
Oh, yeah. And then I would do, I think I was telling Bobby when I was in your shed, then I would do stuff like, to him, I'm like, okay, you know what? I just want to, like, and he would do biker crank. You know, like, I mean, now they call it crystal meth. You know, it had a much better deal called when it was biker crack. It was
better.
Yeah, like Black Beauties, you know, and then snort those things. And then you're up for a week. And I was like, you know, what a waste of time to sleep 8 hours. You know, what does this guy do? So I would ride with him and just do it. Stay up just to see what the fucking guy would do. The amount of shit that we did. We were like in Switzerland. We rented a boat. I'm fucking water skiing with them. He can't, you know, I mean, he couldn't even fucking get up on the skis. Like there was a rooster coming off his nose. You know, he almost drowned. I'm like, get in the boat. You'll be fine. And like, we did like 800 things and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, we already did it.
That's awesome. What fucking lives, man. That must have been such a great, your 20s must have been fantastic.
I want to know this, Dave. I want to know, because I have, again, on a smaller scale, I don't need to keep saying that because everybody gets that I'm not you. I'm not even in your fucking stratosphere. I have a 3-bedroom ranch in Westchester. Listen, but the thing is, like, I have a ton of shit. I've gotten a ton of free shit. I've gotten all this stuff. What is the thing that you bought that is still around? Like, what do you do with all the shit that you get? Like, do you just throw it away? Do you give it away? Do you donate it? Like, and what's the craziest thing you've ever got? Like, for just being you.
The coolest thing I ever bought was, because I remember from Flashdance, that Maniac, and there was the black Porsche.
Yeah.
So the second I got my first fucking amount of money that I bought, I still have it. I got 20,000 miles on it. I bought it for 40 grand in 1987.
Jesus.
I didn't have a house. I didn't live anywhere. I had a garage. I was like, I'm buying that fucking car first.
You know how much that fucking Porsche is worth now, though, right? 20,000?
200 grand.
Huh?
It's worth 200 grand.
That's what I wish I could do right now. I wish I had, you know, those people. I saw that video. The guy bought a Rolex for $350 back in the war. Right, he went and he brought it to the thing. It was the Daytona. It was like a very small number run. It's worth $1 million.
Wow.
Guy had a beard down to his dick. Fucking redneck, probably pisses in a hole outside, and he fainted. He passed out.
Mm-hmm.
$350, $1 million bucks.
Right.
Fucking crazy.
Can I have your hat from Russia? Big babushka hat.
Oh, you know, it's actually, no, I still have it. I wear that thing. And the funny thing, I mean, that's a funny story. The two Russian stories are funny. So that one was, we went to Russia, which was before the wall came down. They're still the fucking enemy. I mean, we were like in kindergarten, we would hide underneath the desk and they're like, you know, the Russians are going to nuke us. I'm like, what the fuck is this going to do under the desk? I know I'm 5, but I think, shouldn't I run home and try to be with the people I love? Like, what the fuck is this? So here we are with the enemy. And as a joke, I brought my American Express card, you know, and I had like a film, like, don't leave home without it. And I went there and they took my American Express card. I'm like, the fucking enemy? That's a good company. They were servicing both sides of the fucking.
I remember, I must have watched that video 1,000 times, the release of that when you're over there. And I remember you bought the hat with the American Express card.
Yeah, I still had the hat.
But I want it in your will. Give it to me in your will, at least.
And then, have that piece of the wall.
I have a piece of the wall when it came down. But the cool thing, so remember that the Moscow Peace Festival, that leather jacket?
Yeah.
So, like, I think, like, two or three years ago, we had a Halloween party, and I always do it. My wife does the theme. I'm like, just do it where I can just dress up like me. like your favorite record cover. I'm like, me. You know, like, your favorite rock thing, me. So, I put that jacket on. I hadn't put it on since fucking 1989. Put it on and I reach into the pocket And there's fucking my $800 in fucking $100 bills. That was my per diem because each bill was 1989. I was like, funny. Fuck yes.
was that a great experience over there or was it shitty?
I mean, it was the first, it was unbelievable seeing them. Yeah. They had fucking nothing. They had no food. They had no water. You know, they like in the hotel, like we had a, they gave us eggs. I'm like, I think that fucking chick, this, you know, that chicken fucked a skunk. That doesn't smell like a fucking egg.
I had a piece of the, I had a piece of the wall too. This girl I was banging back in Boston, she went to Germany and after we did our thing, we were sitting there and she had a little piece of rock with spray paint on it. And I go, what's that? She goes, piece of the Berlin Wall. I go, let me get it. And she goes, take it. I took it. And I gave it to my grandfather. And then he died, and then my uncle threw it out. He thought it was just a rock.
Fuck that him. Was crazy. I mean, we actually were there when the wall was – we were doing an interview on the wall, right? And all of a sudden, the guy's like, German interview, 1980, 1990, and all of a sudden somebody comes over the wall because usually they would shoot him.
Right.
Guy came over the fucking wall, and all of a sudden they were going – they turned off and was like – mentioning two people, three people, 1,000 people, all these fucking people, mayhem happened. They're like, we were there. And then I'm like, fuck, let's get a piece of the fucking wall. So like some guy, you know, then capitalism happens, you know, some guy selling hammers. So we're like, give me this fucking hammer. So we're, you hit the fucking thing. Nothing happened. I mean, it's a wall. You know what I mean? It's like nothing happened.
Yeah.
So then capitalism happened. Some guy's like, I got wall. I got wall. He's got his box. You know? So I'm like, fuck. So we bought wall. Like, here's $100. We'll buy your whole fucking box. Yeah. And then we divvied it up and I got a piece in my office.
It's big.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. My piece was this big. That's big. So yeah.
It's equal to your success.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry, Mike. What did you just say, Michael?
I said the size of the wall is equal to your success.
Well, I think I think that's a little fucking below the belt.
No, I mean, not just you. I mean, whoever. I don't have one at all. So there you go.
Well, yeah, well, let's not get carried away. Fucking asshole.
you talk to Richie? Relationship good? Or you guys just don't really see each other?
Nah, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. You know, it's that... As Bobby probably would know, it's that tough love. You know what I mean? If you can't, you know, when somebody's drowning, you can't either you hand them the life, you know, you hand them the life vest, but you can't hug them because if you hug them, he's going to take you down.
Yeah, yeah. They got to want it.
Yeah. Know?
Bunch of shame.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, though. But, I mean, look, I saw you guys at the Garden when you got me the tickets. Mike, did I tell you about that? Max is a huge Bon Jovi fan. Before I knew who Gabby was and who her father was, you know, and I mean, loved him. I mean, he used to sit there on the drums and just, I mean, over and over, It's My Life. I listened to that song 700 times. Play it again, play it again. Then we find out, you know, Gabby, I find out that she's hanging out with David Bryan on Instagram. I'm like, why are you hanging out with that guy? That's weird. She's like, it's my dad. And I was like, thank God. And then
fuck you.
I went to the concert. Gabby gets us like right to the left of the stage. Like you can just walk around. You can sit. I got Max on my shoulders in the middle of the song. He's up there singing. Just, I mean, he knows the words. I'm having such a great time. He's got a mohawk. He wanted it red. And then I smell shit. I'm like, do you shit your pants? He goes, yeah. Shit his pants right on my neck. And I'm like, fuck. I mean, mid-concert. I mean, there's no way. I go, Gabby. She goes, follow me. She took me into Dave's dressing room, and I cleaned his ass like a fucking pit crew. I mean, whoops, skip, skip, zip, zip. And I grabbed it. I rolled it all up in underwear, wrapped it in thing, and put it right in your barrel, David. Nice. I was just nervous that somebody was going to find kid underwear with shit on it, and David's dressing
room. Ruined his career.
Not my kid.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Huh.
No, I mean, you know, you look at Richard was a major part of the band, and it's amazing. You know, we didn't ever fight dirty. You know what I mean? It just was, and I think the fans just looked and said, you know, it's not our fault, and it's, you know, and they look and they, because that could have killed us, you know, and it didn't.
thank God, you know, because it's not our fault. I wanted to go to work. I never walked on stage fucked up.
You think he's ever going to come back? Yeah.
I don't know. It's like you said, he's got to wake up one day and say, I don't want to be that guy anymore.
Yeah.
Does it hurt the band concert wise? Like, do people still come out in droves? Like they, you know,
or do you that's what I was just saying. It was amazing. We survived it.
Oh, all because, that. Okay.
You know, we survived that because the fans look and said, you know what? It's not your guy's fault. You know, it's his fault.
Yeah, but it's the problem is for somebody who's such a longtime fan is to see, you know, I love the whole band, but to see the two of them up there together harmonizing, and that's what I was worried that you would miss.
Well, luckily Phil took.
Phil's a great guitar player.
Phil is sick and entertaining and draws your eye and everything too. So that I think that's a big part of it as well.
Now, this is a weird thing that I don't know if you know this, and I just recently found out too, that Gabby can sing and play piano and guitar and I look at the worst thing in the world as a musician or anything is to have a kid who wants to do what you do and they just and you have to go to some fucking Asbury Park gig and just sit there in the back. Oh, good job. Oh, boy. You know what I mean? Just have her up there with a guitar and a tambourine just stinking the place up. But Gabby fucking she sings great. She's really
fucking good. Sing.
I mean, does it bother you that she wants to be a stand-up? Like she's doing stand-up? Because she could go down, Gabby, you could go be a singer and be on fucking Good Morning America tomorrow with your dad. He'd be on the piano. You'd be there singing some COVID song to bring the world together. A millionaire.
I think it's, well, I mean, for me, like, you know me, and I grew up with more comedy records than music records. So I love that she's a comedian. And then her secret weapon is, I mean, look at Cheech and Chong started out as a music group.
Yeah.
You know, and they did funny songs. So she could, you know, do that or, you know, just more in your pocket. But I love that she's a comedian.
I think when you grow up, like, and your dad has a certain profession, for me, I didn't want to go down that same route. Like, I knew I wanted to be entertainment. I knew I wanted to perform, but I just wanted my own thing. And then that started in acting and ended up doing comedy without really knowing that he was the biggest comedy fan ever. You know, it kind of was just this, it just happened perfectly. And he got up and did stand up with me at one of my last shows before quarantine.
I did 15 minutes of shtick.
Really?
Yep. And I'll tell you what, I was scared shitless. Gabby's like, you know, she's like, she was at a gig and she said something. I was in the audience and I never want to say anything at the stand. And she was doing some bat mitzvah shtick. And she's like, I don't remember my theme. I go, the theme was $100,000. It cost me a fucking $100,000. So the whole place laughs. And she's like, Dad, why did you out me? I told everybody, I had it in a shed and it cost $5. So afterwards, the comedians, the other ones came up. Hey, that was pretty funny. And Gab's like, hey, we should, you should come do some shtick with me at the way station. And I'm like, I don't know, Gab. I want to start out somewhere small. She goes, there's no smaller.
This is the smallest. He's standing there. He's like, I'm nervous. I don't know if I could get up. I'm like, Dad, there's 35 people in this bar. You played Madison Square Garden 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's different.
But there was a piano there. So I had some comfort. And I was like, I woke up at 4 in the morning the night before. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? And so then I get on stage. But before I went on, she was doing this comedy song. And I thought she was saying, and she said a cum smoothie was one of the.
It was in the bridge.
That was the bridge, a cum smoothie, right? So I'm like, that's nice. It's great for a father to hear that. And she goes, and now at last, she goes, okay, my dad. It's like, I come to the stage. She goes, so how you feeling? I go, disappointed. Whole place cracks up. I go, what's with that song, Come Smoothly? She goes, it's not smoothly, it's smoothie.
It's
I got another laugh. I got shtick.
My daughter better not even know the word come. I don't even hear it.
And then I told, then I was like, okay, I tried my little Jewish thing. I said, okay, Gab, I said, an 80-year-old Jewish couple, Sadie and Morty are in bed. Sadie gets up, goes to the bathroom, puts on sexy lingerie. He jumps out and yells, super pussy. You know what Morty says? I'll take the soup.
Everybody cracked up. I was like, oh, I got the rule. I was like, that felt just as fucking great as playing Giant Stadium.
And it's a weird thing. It's getting a laugh is supersonic accolades. It's getting people to laugh at your shit. Really, a room full of people you don't know is this fucking jolt shot of adrenaline that you really can't explain. Mike knows too. You know, Mike's radio guy, number one guy, huge in radio. He came up on stage one night. We're going to do my show in Tampa. And he's like, yo, I think I want to do 5 minutes in front of you. And I was like, fuck yeah. And we sat in his, you know, cause he makes $14 million a year. We sat in his, what is it called again?
Sprinter.
He has a Mercedes Sprinter with a driver on hand whenever he wants to go to the supermarket or get a fucking Pinkberry. He has somebody drive him in a Sprinter. But we sat there 5 minutes. He wrote this shit down. In my head, I'm like, dude, this is either going to go fucking horribly wrong, which is going to be horribly right because it's going to be awesome, or it's going to be he's going to kill. He would have been murdered for 5-6 minutes, just killed.
It's a different adrenaline. I can get up in front of anybody, but when you're up there telling jokes and shit, that's a whole different rush.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I walk up, no problem. I'll play fucking piano and sing in front of the earth.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. But then after I did that and Gabby recorded it and I listened back, I was like, that was some good shit. I did good.
You also listened back and you were like, fuck, there was a silence right here. And that would have been better right here. Like, it's like a new comic where he's like, there's a punchline right there. I should have fucking said it. You know what I mean?
That's his great work. That's his 14 hours a day piano shit. He'd apply that to comedy and pass all of us. And yeah, I'd be pissed at him.
Then we. I said to her, I always wanted to do like a Victor Bort. Like I start before I said, you know what? I said, listen, when I retire, I'm going to be done. 65 or whatever the fuck I retire, I'm done. And then we'll do like a Victor Borg, you know, I'll play piano and be wacky and I'll say everything, you know, incorrect. And then you could correct me. And she goes, it'll be the retirement tour. And she goes, you know what? I'll be 35 then. She goes, I'll retire too. You know, fuck it. I've had it.
Now, how did you, this Diana play that you, why did you pick this? Why did you pick her?
So my writing collaborator, you don't say partner in that world, I learned that. So my writing collaborator, Joe DiPietro, we wrote the musical Memphis together. So I write all the music, he writes the story, and then together we write the lyrics. So we did that, and then we had another one called Chasing the Song about 6 years in, and that was ready to go to Broadway. And he said to me, he goes, hey, what about writing a musical on Princess Diana? I think my head spun around a million times. I was like, that is the greatest fucking idea. And I said, write a treatment for it. Let's see. Let me just read it and see how it is. I read it. It was unbelievable. You learn about this person that was, you know, for me, it was night when she got married. I just was like, wow, she's hot. She was hot. You know, and that's not just a blowjob. That's like a royal blowjob. You know, that's like, that's hot. And, but I can't say that. I could say it on the comedy channels. And and then he was like, okay, well, let's write a song. And I was like, well, he goes, let's write a song for, and I figured she would be rock. Like she's like rock pop of the 80s. And then I was like, you know, Charles would be like classical with a string quartet. Camilla would be, because it's a love triangle. Like Camilla's like light FM, you know, acoustic guitar, AC, adult. And then the Queen is like regal with snare drums. So we wrote, the first song we wrote was for the Queen. I'm like, well, we'll be with a snare drum and this stuff. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm in my studio. I put a sequencer. I did this thing with a snare drum, wrote it. And he's like, that's fucking unbelievable. And then it's the fastest. I mean, in 3 years, we're on Broadway.
And the it sucks that you got railroaded here because of the pandemic, because I saw all the press with the Prince and or Harry and just the photo shoots and Abbey Road and all that stuff. I mean, everybody was talking about it.
You know, the good news is that we had 9 previews. The word of mouth was great. Everybody's on pause, so it's a level playing field. You know, the show's not going to, all those shows are going to open. It's just whenever it is. And actually in this downtime, we've been working on it. Me and the creative team, him, myself, my music director, our director and choreographer, Zoom like this. and, you know, at least once a week, and we keep tightening it up and making it better.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but you think now, I mean, because I'm worried about stand-up comedy, and you might, I mean, your tour was canceled today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this, like, what is, when are we going to get back to sitting that close to each other? Because let's be honest, the theater was not made for Americans now. The theater seats were made for Americans. They were a little fucking little.
1910 when they built them.
Yeah.
If I go to a theater, I literally apologize to the people to the right and the left. Immediately, I'm like, I'm sorry, I apologize. And then I hold my tits for an hour and a half like this because the seats are just ridiculous. Now, I mean, it's going to be hard because you like at least the comedy club, they can spread the people out a little bit. In a theater, when are they going to be able to sit back? Are people going to come right back? What's going to happen, you think?
I think, I mean, two things. I think first we should all do a class action suit, everybody, and sue China. I'm doing that. I'm going to get Jacoby and Myers.
I'm going to
fucking sue them. It only costs 10 grand. It's good.
Can I jump in on yours and I'll give you half of my money?
Sure.
All right.
Done deal. I know Jacoby's. Maybe we could divide and conquer. We can get it for 5 grand.
I haven't heard that name. I haven't heard those names in 30 years.
I slipped and fell, you know, boom, Jacoby and Myers. But what I truly believe is I think this is the most money in the history of the planet and collectively that's throwing at medicine and science. And, you know, it's billions of dollars. I mean, look at like Rutgers in 2 weeks came up with a saliva test. You know, they're throwing all these collective minds. You know, they've already been, you know, they'll come up with a cure. It'll be the first thing that, you know, they can help people. Then they'll look at what the antibodies do and how long that can last. Then they'll have a vaccine. But I mean, we put a fucking man on the moon. You know, we can figure out a virus. And especially with, you know, before, like when somebody said $1 trillion, it's like an evil scientist on a cartoon. Now, like we're throwing, you know, 6 trillion. And they're putting so much money at all these great, brilliant minds in the world.
Yeah.
And I think it'll happen. I think it'll be sooner than later. But I still think we should sue China. I think it's the right thing to do.
I'm in. I'll take some free Chinese food.
Oh, here's fucked up. I don't have a couple of nights ago, we got takeout from a Chinese food place just to maybe, you know, reverse the coronavirus in me. And, and I opened up a fortune cookie and it's like, you know, learn Chinese. And the word was disease. I swear to God.
Did you keep that? You should have kept that.
Fuck yeah. And you know what the word is? Bing.
Bing?
Bing. That's, you know, what's that? Bat for disease, you fuckers.
You've been binged.
Oh, my God. Well, you want to take a what?
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Bing. Disease.
I opened it up. My shimmy got rid of those.
Play those numbers. How funny
would it be
if you played those numbers and you won more money?
I'm doing it.
Now, let me ask you a question about, because I have things. Now, I went in your dressing room with the kid to wipe his bum.
Right.
And I noticed, and I always think about this. These are the little things I think about. All these clothes are back there. Now, do they pick these for you? Do you go in and do a thing before the tour starts and you pick out all your little outfits and then, or do you wear the same thing every night? Or like, do they wash them? Do they smell? I mean, like you're, cause you have little sparkly pants and your bum shines and then with the jackets and all that shit. I'm wondering, cause I see Jovi went from certain things. Now he wears these little jackets, these little tight jackets. And, you know, I mean, who picks out these clothes? Is it you? Are those your clothes? Do you get to keep them? What?
I'll give you the journey. So at the beginning, right, you have to wear leather because you got to look, it's usually black leather. That's, you got to look cool.
Right.
And you have no money. So, and there's no wardrobe personnel to wash anything. So I wore leather pants for, I think we didn't have money till Slippery. So they could stand up in the, they just stood up. And the only time that I would like first get onto them, I couldn't even bend my knees. And then once I started to sweat, at least I could bend my knees a little bit. And it just stunk like death. And and then
no underwear, right? No underwear back.
No, you always got to go cowboy. You got to
rock and roll.
Got to go rock and roll. Right. And then
You're going to see and that then, junk, right? You're going to see that. You're going to see what you're packing from stage. Like, let's exactly. Robert.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm proud.
Right.
And then we got a stylist, like in the 80s, we got this guy that, you know, because you couldn't then buy the shit. I mean, you made us all the shit that you, I don't even, so he made us this expensive shit. Then we had a wardrobe girl,
right.
Girls, and then they would wash that shit. And, you know, and now like we would get like designers or buy shit, put it into the road case. And then like when you get done with the show, you put your clothes on the floor and then magically it's hung up back in your case and clean and everything. It's unbelievable. It's great.
So you wear the same outfit or you get five different outfits that you wear?
I kind of bring like all the shit and I only wear the one fucking jacket. And I wear like a couple pairs of pants. And like for Europe, it's fucking cold. You know, like summer there is like 40 and raining. So, you know, that's like an English summer. So you always need fucking something warm because you're freezing your balls off.
Because I have show shirts, I mean, I have pants, like, and I just realized that, like, I haven't worn my show pants. Like, you know, but my show pants are like stretchy fat guy jeans. You know what I mean?
You gotta have the stretch. Hey, listen, I got the stretch, you know, because, you know,
you gotta have stretch.
Yo.
You have to have free willie, you know?
I used to have regular jeans and I'd be on stage and my thigh would sweat and then my jeans would get stuck and I go to bend down and almost, you know, slip my fucking hip out. Because women have stretchy pants for 30 fucking years. And then I found out they make guys stretchy pants. I put those suckers on. I could squat down, pick up a nickel with my asshole.
Oh, I wish I had nickels right now.
I wore this one on the whole last tour, which is now, you know, we used to do 110 shows and do like 50 countries or something. And then a couple years ago, we were like, okay, we're going to do that over 3 years. Yeah. So we just want to, Tico's now 10 years older than me. He's like, everything hurts. I don't want to play that much. So we slowed it down and I bought the most expensive jacket I ever bought, like real alligator in Italy, real. You know, so it's like 15 grand, you know, I was like, I'm fucking doing it. Right. And you can't write it off, you know, for the taxes. I'm a Jew. So you can't write this thing off because they're like, well, how do we know it's not civilian wear? Right. So I wore every fucking show, 100 fucking shows. Right. And I like take a fucking picture and I'm going to put that when they order me every fucking year. I'm going to have 100 fucking Polaroids stapled to the fucking receipt.
You did not wear that to the ShopRite ever. You only wore it on stage. Yeah.
I just brought it home after the last of that fucking tour. This house is not for sale, but the jacket is. Came right home.
It's so funny when you say I'm a Jew, because when you think of rock bands as a kid, you don't think of Catholic, Jew, you don't think of any rock guys are something else. They're like, you're like another. And then when you go, dude, I'm a Jew, I'm like, what? Like,
that's the comedy. That's the shtick, you know? And
yeah.
And if you even think about it too, it's like the most, almost every keyboard player is Jewish because their parents had the money for lessons.
Crazy.
Everybody else had a fucking tennis racket in the mirror. You know, I'm like, that's because you have no fucking money. We had enough money. We were rich, but we were a fucking tennis racket in the mirror.
What song brings you the most money now? Publishing wise.
Oh, I mean, luckily, I mean, knock on fucking wood, we got a lot of records out and it's streaming is, you know, it's a great thing.
I had Dee Snider in the studio not too long ago. And he said that the two most played songs in movies and commercials were two Twisted Sister songs. The only two that they really have. And that they I thought for sure a Bon Jovi song, because you hear, hear You Give Love a Bad Name and fucking everything.
It's My Life. You Give Love a Bad Name, Want It Dead or Alive, It's My Life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, there's, and they're remixes it and people are singing it like it's fucking yesterday. It's like unbelievable.
What's the worst song you don't like playing?
So we never play on the first record was She Don't Know Me. So it's the one video where I was acting, not acting. And it was terrible. The song was terrible. It was the first one that John agreed to that we didn't write at all. And John will never do it. We can't even mention it around him.
Really?
I'll probably get a phone call, a text now. Even he just heard it through the airwaves.
Yeah.
What do you love to play?
Oh, my God, I got it.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, dude, the video is the best. Is that the one with the, there's some dialogue with John, man? You sold us out or some shit like that.
Ah, here we go. Let's just.
Oh, yeah, and I'm jacking a guy up against the wall.
Yeah. Oh, this is awfully great.
Where is
it? You'll see it. There's my acting. Hold on. My acting. Hold on, it's coming. That's a guy.
Dead, drag queen.
That's a guy. We couldn't afford a chick.
There's another drag queen.
Look at those jeans.
That's 85. We were 23.
I like this song.
The song's good.
I like this song.
Same guy. Wait, this is us walking cool. Now finally the band's in. Or not yet.
Is that you guys?
We're driving by, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Like I want her.
Well, here we are.
There you are. Look at
Oh, my God. Look at that Jufro.
See, I was trying to get it. I didn't have gravity working yet. Right, there's my acting coming up. Hold on. I was De Niro. I was channeling.
Oh, my God. Look at those pants. Oh, shit.
God, I haven't seen this.
Where are you?
It was in San Francisco.
Really?
At like some abandoned area because we didn't need a permit. And that wasn't a wind machine. We were outside. It was like a storm.
Was just rock.
Look at that, man.
Wait a minute.
Tie shit on your arm to look cool. You know, it's like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Wait, hold on. You got to see that.
Wait, where is the thing? Zoom forward to find it.
Oh, wait. Now we come to the movie part. Hold on. This is where. It's like The Irishman.
Yeah, I used to love this in videos. They'd always break like the guitar solo for videos.
Yeah.
Do a little scene.
Like acting with no words. Fake smoking.
That whole headpiece comes off. She's bald.
Oh, Vatos.
That's
what I look like in high school.
Cholo.
Mm-hmm. What you gonna do, Bon Jovi?
Here's the danger now. Hold on. First, we got to go back to the chorus. There's Al. He was the coolest guy in the world.
Look at you.
I just found that shirt, actually, in a fucking box.
You have it?
Yeah.
Did you try it on?
I still fits.
Oh, my God.
That's the same chick. They only could afford one.
Where's this part?
Not bad.
Where was me jacking the guy up?
Was you what?
I was putting a guy up against the wall. That was my hacking. Maybe it's had
they edited it out. They took it out.
Whoa.
It has to be right at the beginning.
Jeez, remember music videos? Why were they all cheesy? Nothing was cheesier than Billy Squire's video, though. Remember that video?
Wearing the pink suspenders and crawling on the floor. Yeah, that killed his career.
That killed it, man.
And he was great.
He's unbelievable. He's fucking unbelievable. Billy Squire had so many hits, and he's fucking a great lead guy. Guitarist.
The stroke was unbelievable. Bobby Chouinard on drums. They were great.
Fucking awesome. Where's he from? Long Island?
I think so.
Yeah. It's so funny because, you know, rock people, I have a theory that all rock guys are just nerds.
Yeah. Right?
I've told you that. I think rock guys, you take away the hair, right? It's just thin dudes that are really smart. You know what I mean? You've never seen an oof like me. You know what I mean? Some street punk from Boston fucking in a band. No, it's like you guys, you took the time when you were younger to fucking learn a craft. And then at some point, you went and got just millions of dollars worth of pussy. Sorry, Gabby. I keep forgetting you're here.
No, I know.
I meant millions of dollars. It's fucking great, man.
Great. I'm a pretty fucking lucky guy. It's fortunate. And I beat the corona. So at least it didn't take me down.
I was so nervous when you got it, man. I was like, fuck.
I was too, right? At the beginning, like, I'm sick. I'm like, he goes, you got it. I'm like, fuck.
I hung up. We got off the podcast that night, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, I really would love to get him on the show tomorrow, but I don't. I was afraid to ask everybody. So I text Robert. I'm like, do you think that and Bobby's like, I got it. And Gabby's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Here's his phone number. Call him tomorrow. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then you were so cool, and people loved hearing from you because you were, you know, you sounded really sick, but you also were on the mends. And I think that was positive for everybody.
That's what I wanted to do right at the beginning. Like I said, I got it. I just, you know, wanted to, like, calm the fear because, you know, I was scared. Everybody's scared, but it's like, you know, there's not, like, not everybody's dying. It's not the plague. There are people die. I mean, it's so fucking sad, the people that died, but it's not everybody dies.
Yeah.
You know, but you just don't want to be the one.
Yeah. You're not a death sentence. And you're healthy. Thank God. You know, if I got it, we'd be in trouble. Right? Oh, look at this.
Oh, who's coming in now?
I mean, why would you come in now?
You said 7 o'clock. You said 7 o'clock.
Soon as you get time, we should sign off.
Yeah, I'm looking at your text. It's 7 o'clock.
Put your video on.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, so we can see what headband you're wearing.
I told Rich 7.
Yeah,
you but said 7. Would be done.
But we're almost done.
You know what, though? The good thing, how you doing, boss?
Hi, Dave.
The good thing is you're 15 minutes early.
Well, the thing is, I thought he was doing his other podcast.
When did you get the thing?
I thought this was your YKW pod. I thought this was your other podcast, not the one with Mike.
I fucked up.
Yeah, you did.
I told Mike, but Mike's no longer here. I don't think he works for me anymore. I think Mike Mushy Mike's gone. I think
why? Because you yelled him.
No, I don't. Did I yell, Mike?
No, it was a lot of yelling. No. He was extra mushy tonight.
Oh.
I don't know if you know.
That's mashed potatoes and mashed potatoes calling somebody else mushy.
Well, boss, we got to go. It was good seeing you.
No, you still have 15 minutes. 17. I want to talk to Dave. You look great.
Why don't you call him?
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you, boss. Listen, man, it's great. I fucking survived. I was saying before, like, so I infected my wife and five other friends because I'm a giver.
Uh-huh.
And so we all got the corona. Only two of us, me and my buddy Manzo, we got sick. Everybody else was like, no symptoms. So then Sunday I got the test back negative. Manzo got his test back negative. Everybody got their test back. So I'm like, okay. At least I could do is, and we can't give it to each other anymore because we fucking had it. So I said, let me at least buy you dinner. I almost killed you. And he came over to the house on Sunday, had food, drank really good wine, drank till 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. And I'm like, can you believe this? I go, there's 7 billion humans out there. Everybody's so afraid of getting the shit. And we fucking, us three here, we beat it. It's crazy.
You beat it though because of shit you did in Tokyo back in the 80s.
Yeah, you go. What do you say? You always say make the body an inhabitable place for disease.
For germs, yeah. I mean, I would think the 80s alone, I wouldn't even. Listen, I got sick on that Sunday. That Saturday, I partied with Manzo till about 4 in the morning. I woke up with such a fucking hangover. I was dying. And then I went right into corona. So I fucking was like, what? Like, that should have beat it.
I remember the first when AIDS first came out, I went and I took the test
and the guy said negative, and I was so happy. I wanted to kiss him, but he looked like he had it. I was so happy. I think I have it for like over for about 6 weeks now.
AIDS?
Yeah, for about 6 weeks now. It's every now and then it's hard to breathe, but I have anxiety, so that stimulates my breathing, I think, or. I don't know. I take my temperature all day. How do you know? How will you know if you have it without taking the test?
So that's a crazy thing. Like, look at my, so here in my little control group, right? Out of seven of us, five people had no symptoms. They would have never known an infected like everybody. I got, and two of us got sick. So once I tested positive, everybody tested. But like, that's what's so crazy. It's probably like 60% of America probably had it and is asymptomatic. So that'll be a good thing to get us out of this shit.
Do you and Gabby ever argue who has less pigment between both of you? You ever had that argument?
That's the That's the wonderful Eastern European skin that I'm rocking here.
You guys look like elves.
You look like a house full of nightlights.
This is what do you think happens in Poland and the Czech Republic? There's no fucking sun. Italians are like, whoa, I got sun to death. You know, Spain.
You look like Gabby in 20 years.
You want tea?
Hey, so you, if I say my breathing's been bad for 6 weeks, on and off.
He's not a doctor.
I don't care. I'm going by his experience, okay?
I went to pre-med. I'm good.
So
for say, 2 months.
But if
two
I'm
years.
Not, which in 6 weeks, it's not going to get any worse if I had it. Would only, you know, I mean, I work out every day. I do lawn work and it's all anxiety.
You don't do lawn work. You move dirt from one pile to around a tree.
Listen to me. On the verge of a mustache, I fucking.
I'm trying to grow a Hitler one.
I do a lot of landscaping.
You
and
boss, I've seen your video. You literally he does Dave. He goes his landscaping with Voss videos. He has like an intro, and then he goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna take this dirt from over here and put it around this tree." That's not landscaping. That's manual labor, you asshole.
My grass is starting to come up.
Alarms.
Everybody's grass is coming up.
No, the new stuff I planted. You can tell it's new grass.
It's not. You planted grass. You went like this and you threw grass.
Yes. No, I went. I went like just see which way the wind's blowing, and then you throw it, and the wind takes it. Nice and lovely.
I don't know if that's planting. That's growing. Spreading it out.
Well, yes. But I planted flowers too. Look at my front yard. I planted flowers.
To answer you, no, you wouldn't have had. I mean, some people get like loss of taste and smell.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, if you have it, or you have no symptoms, or you have, I mean, you'll have a fever and then you feel like you got. I mean, my first 5 days was like a fucking flu of doom. Every fucking joint was fucking killing me. Write this down.
I hope you have it.
98.4.
You're fine.
I take my temperature 3 or 4 or 5 times a day.
5 times?
I wish
yes.
You with a gun.
I try to buy a flamethrower, but they're all sold out.
From where?
From Elon Musk, his company sold flamethrowers.
What are you going to do with the flamethrower? Are you going to burn somebody's eyebrows off?
If they come at you and you shoot a flame at them, they're turning around, pal. Okay.
Stop, drop, and roll, I think, is the.
Dave, do you have home protection?
Yes, we have a 10-pound Jack Russell terrorist. she would bite the fucking crap out of everything.
So you wouldn't use a flamethrower to protect your house?
No, I got a 12 gauge. That'll definitely.
Oh, I can't get one.
Yeah, why? You know why?
Well, I have a
felon.
Well, no, I'm not a felon, but they put a halt on gun buying in New Jersey. And with my mental history, it might be a little tough.
Yeah. The fact that you're fucking taking your temperature every 5 seconds, you think you have it, then you have anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a flamethrower. Is that better?
I have crossbows. I'm waiting for my good crossbow to come in the mail. But
what's the difference between a bad one and a good one?
A bad one fucking hurts you.
No, I have the crossbow gun right here. That's the pistol crossbow. But I'm waiting for the big crossbow.
Listen, that's good enough. You don't need no fucking gun, man. Why are you fighting
robbers like you're Robin Hood? We've advanced so much further than the bow. Why the fuck? Are you gonna Little John and protect the woods around?
Have a bucket of stones and just stone people, stone them.
Yeah, why don't you get a slingshot too, Voss?
I got one. And I bought 1,000 BBs.
For what? 1,000.
In case I end up in the woods and I'm out hunting squirrel or whatever, I don't need a bow and arrow. I could do it with my slingshot.
Dave, what? I know that I have a plan, and I know Voss has a plan, and I know Mike has a plan. What now? The end of the world comes. This thing goes crazy. Apocalypse. What is your plan?
I'm staying put and get all the fucking guns out and just shoot till there's no tomorrow.
And Gabby's got to come home, right?
She'll come home. I'll pay all the fucking my town. I'll give all the cops the money.
Bribe the cops. That's good.
Hire the cops.
Kill my two siblings just to get that over with, because no dead weight. And then,
Jesus, Gabby.
And then we all have posts.
Now let me ask a question, Dave. If Voss knocked on your gate one day and was like, "Let me in," would you, in the apocalypse, would you let him in?
I let him in. He's got the apocalypse. He's got the apocalypse bag. He'll have like ready to eat meals and all that kind of shit with him. So
yeah.
No, I love it. I'd club him to death.
And plus, I could be one of Gabby's five people that she has to bring in to get in. So,
what's that, an apocalypse minion?
She's a bringer apocalypse.
I like it. Apocalypse minion.
Hey, I want to go fishing. I got to find a place I can go fishing around here where I live. I'm not gonna go on a boat.
We have David Bryan's here and you're just rattling on like he's fucking Mike Feeney. I gotta go fishing. Who
cares? Yeah, maybe he fishes and he wants me to go.
He doesn't fish, he buys fish.
Yeah, so could I, but I want to go.
He's gonna go fishing in $500 jeans. He's a composer.
Boss, you have your rings on?
No, I put them all in the safety deposit box. All my rings and my good watch. I got my Swiss Army on.
Why is that?
I don't want to end up in the woods with extra valuables where people can come at me. Yeah. And my old landscaper, he was looking at my rings and my watch. And I'm going, you know what? I don't know this guy. I don't want to walk in one night and three of his friends are out there waiting for me. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying.
Fuck are you worried about that your lawn crew is going to mug you at night?
His crew. I don't know. He could be MS-13 for all I know.
So what, you're saying he's Spanish?
No, I didn't say that. I said, no, he's
MS-13.
Don't say anything. This is not a conversation for you.
Don't step into this. Listen to me, Voss. First of all, I would think you would wear your rings everywhere because your desire is to use your weapons on somebody, your flamethrower, your crossbow. Isn't that your dream?
Well, yes, but that's why I have a wife and kid to practice. You got to see the cute little baby antlers I bought Raina.
Voss, I'm so sorry. I thought Mush sent you the thing earlier, right?
Yes, I saw it at like 7:15, but I was relaxing in bed. I go, oh, he must be doing his regular podcast, and then he'll do the one with Mike at 7.
I fucked up. That was
That's all right.
I said to you 7, but it's 5:30, and he sent it to you at 5.
Well, look, I got to see Dave. He's healthy. You know, that's all that matters. I could see you and Calta, you know, anytime. But when do you get, you know, two big acts like, oh, when is he? Oh, guess what? So I finished that show, City on a Hill, which is the best. You have to watch this.
What's it on?
It's only goes, it's on Amazon Prime till the end of the month. It's 10 episodes. And Kevin Bacon.
Wow, my dad doesn't care.
Yeah, you're
no, no, it just got my security just came in. Hold on.
City on a Hill. City, oh, look at that.
It looks exactly like you, Rich.
It does?
Yeah. Same size.
So, you know what? You can be all wise and happy now, but let me tell you, we'll be back in the clubs and you'll be introing me again, okay?
And Rich, I can't wait.
Yes. And maybe you'll do some of that crowd work. Anyhow.
Stop.
Yeah. See, I'm only kidding. So anyhow, I wrote on Twitter, must see City on the Hill. Great. You know, Kevin Bacon was great. The whole cast. Kevin Bacon thanked me on Twitter.
Whoa.
Isn't
that what? Huh?
For what?
For plugging his show, saying how good he was.
When you see if he wants to go fishing.
Kevin Bacon follows you on Twitter?
He didn't follow me. He thanked me.
How did he know? But how does he know? How does he even see your shit?
I wrote at Kevin Bacon. At Kevin Bacon.
So you're fishing. You're fishing for a response.
For a fucking compliment.
No, a follow, you fucking idiot. I get enough compliments.
I can do the same thing. You put the person's name in and you're fishing for a like. You're fishing.
No, listen fishing. To me.
He loves fishing.
Mike. Yeah.
I personally love the show and I thought he was great. He should win an Emmy. If you watch the show, Bobby, you won't stop because it's all based on Boston and Charlestown and Quincy and all those places.
What's it called? City on a Hill?
Yeah. It's 10 episodes. You have to watch it.
All right.
So I just said he was great in it. And he said, thank you. You know, I like to, you know, listen, if somebody's good at something, I compliment them. That's all.
Did you see the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with the end flamethrower scene?
Oh, how great was that? Yeah.
That did the trick.
I want one of those so bad, a flamethrower.
Fuck the flamethrower. I love when he threw the dog food at her face, the can of dog food, and it just smashed her nose. Oh.
That end was so fucking violent and cool.
I know.
Oh, it was so great.
So the same with you. Did you see the end of Ozark?
No, none of us did.
You didn't see Ozark?
I'll repeat it again. Ask me one more time.
If I throw Norton, is that like a flamethrower?
Winding down fast.
You didn't see Ozark? Oh, I didn't even know you were still here. What's up, Mike? He's been mean to me on every, and I've been totally nice to him.
I would not say that.
A little mean. Oh.
A little
bit. A little bit. And then you know you are because when you sing your sentences, that's when you know you're lying. Me.
Yeah.
And that was out of tune, right, David? Was it a little out of tune? Me.
Yeah. We can autocorrect.
All right, listen, Dave, we're going to let you go. I thank you so much for hanging out. Boss, I fucked up. I'll take the hit. I apologize.
No big deal.
Was looking for, he was so excited about doing this with you. I mean, he loved, you guys have like a man crush. It kind of bugs me.
No, I'm a fan. There's talent throughout his family and they're right next to each other right here on the screen.
Brady Bunch. You shit on her every other opportunity you get. Now her father's here and you got to.
I'm a big fan. We've helped her out as much as we possibly can for as much as, you know, she, you know what I'm saying? Bonnie uses her a lot on the movies and the TV shows. And, you know, listen, we've always helped young comics. Bobby has, I have, Bonnie has, Colin has. You can't keep what you have in life unless you give it away.
I love you guys.
Yeah, especially Corona. Right,
Dave? That's why I'm the giver. Exactly.
Listen, Dave, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yes.
We'll do it again, boss. We'll do it again. So, you know, we'll get the time right.
Next time, right. We'll do it again. Just hang out. We won't. We'll just fuck around and have a good time, man.
We'll go fishing.
Yeah, we all got nothing to do and nowhere to go, so that's the good news.
Yeah, next time we'll do it out without Gabby and we can talk some more, you know.
No. You don't understand. Understand that I'm actually the middleman. So this won't be happening if I'm here, okay? I'm kind of the PR person for the situation. So I will be here, but nice try.
You don't want to hear about buttholes, though.
How's your new boyfriend, Gabby?
He's good.
Has your father met him?
He met him last night.
What do you think, Dave?
He's really cool. Nice guy.
Is that the tattoo guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
I liked him too. I got him on the Instagram. He's a nice guy. I like him too.
I'm not a fan.
You don't like him?
Gabby, plug your Instagram, Gab.
What?
Plug your Instagram.
@GabbyIsBrian is my Instagram, and my dad is on Instagram. David Brian Music. Diana will be back whenever Broadway reopens. Yes, download a Bon Jovi song. Why not? Also, check out my Patreon, patreon.com/unabashed, for all my podcasts. That's also available everywhere, and video content, etc.
Yeah, Dave's in a band.
Yeah, Dad, show your merch.
Yes, let's see your merch.
Where can we buy merch?
Hold on.
Me and my dad also eventually will be starting a podcast radio show.
There you go. That's old school, buddy.
Is that a mouse pad?
Yeah, because my fucking track wall fucked up, so I got a mouse like from the 80s. I had to go into a time machine to buy it. And luckily, I had one of these fucking stupid things.
Mm-hmm. That was a good album. That was bad. Was that Bad Medicine?
No, that's Have a Nice Day.
Oh, Have a Nice Day. Sorry.
You're hurting me.
Why?
Bad Medicine, New Jersey, 1989.
Do it. Voss, what do you have besides fucking hepatitis?
Voss Roast is free on YouTube. The best roast you'll ever see. I'm not real. I mean, you could buy any one of my 6 CDs on iTunes. My last one is When I Saw Hamilton. But go to Voss Roast. Watch a free roast. You'll love it. And listen, support Bobby and everybody else that you can support in this.
I don't even know. Mike left, so I don't even know where this is going. The producer of the show quit during the beginning of the show. So I don't even know. I know it's recording because I hit record. It will be on my computer, and I will find a way to get this up on Patreon if this does not go on Patreon. But I don't even know how to shut the live stream off. So Gab? Do you know how to do it, Gab?
You're going
to
do, because you're the host. When you click leave meeting, you end meeting for everyone.
And we all go poof.
And then make sure you save that recording to your computer.
We'll work it out after the end. But I want to say thank you, David. Mike Calta, every morning. Mike Calta Show in Tampa on the Bone. He's number one best friend. And I want to thank all the Patreon people and all the people on YouTube and all the fans of YKWD, the best fans. We'll see you next week. You know what, dude?
Bye.
All right.
So long, you guys.
Rich.
All right.
Hit it, Bobby.
Okay, so now, Gabby, I stopped recording.
Right.
And now I go where?
Now you're going to do leave meeting. Bottom right.
End meeting, you mean?
Sure.
Thanks, buddy.
Meeting. It's end meeting for you. It's leave meeting. Bye, Dad.
Bye, everybody. Thanks so much.
Click it.
All right, goodbye. Hang on, I gotta stop the live stream first.
What happened to Mush?
I don't know. He left.
So it was streaming.
It's streaming live on.
Hi, I'm Tara.
It's under Calta and Kelly, though.
What does that mean?
It's not under YKWD, and there's no, like, when you click on this, when it says live from YouTube, click the down arrow and it says view stream on YouTube, and you click that. And it brings you to the stream, and it says Calta and Kelly 4-6.
I don't know. I don't know what he did.
I don't know.
Who knows what he did? He left, and he wouldn't answer my phone call. I went to call him. Stop live stream, view stream on YouTube. Okay, so here you go.
Guys need to know.
All right, hang on 1 second, Gab.
It's sexier, but it's tricky.
Oh, we got fucking commercials and shit?
My brother was trying to look for it on Patreon and he couldn't find it.
Hang on 1 second, Gab.
Yeah, I might have to load it later. All right, there we go. All right, we're still live. I'm going to cancel it right now. All right, I'll see you later, Mike. Let me call you in a sec, okay? Gab, I might need help.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.